Glad to see everybody here this morning. Glad everyone could join us. Got a couple new faces that we haven't seen. We got some old faces that we see a lot of. We got some really old faces standing back in the foyer. Glad everyone could be here. Matt will give some details about tonight, but we are going to have a cookout tonight, and we're just going to have some fun and food and stuff up here. So we're going to do that at 7 o'clock. I hope everyone can join us. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, everything else needs to be brought. And we've got kind of a sign-up sheet. Erin knows who's bringing what. So if y'all would like to bring something, get with her and she can tell you what we need. But that's not what this is about right now. Let's get our minds ready. Let's worship God and commune around his table and let him fill us with his spirit. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for giving us yet another time to be able to come together indoors, out of the elements, and in the safety of walls. And we pray, Lord, that you bless those that don't have those luxuries. We pray that you be with them this morning as they're coming together around the same table we are. We pray, Lord, that you be with us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds. We pray, Lord, that we put all the stuff that may be bothering us or concerning us or just anything outside of you. We pray, Lord, that you give us the ability to push that to the side and just make this about you. Lord, we pray that you continue to fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Safely leads me through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy I kneel in prayer, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee. Setting of the sun. Lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. 395. I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bound me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can my glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Four oh six. This will be our song for prayer.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let kingdom shore, to thy shore, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Close to thee.
We're reading in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10, the first 18 verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the Good Shepherd. We are thankful for the way that he has provided for us through his death and his resurrection. We are thankful that he laid his life down for us, and we are thankful that he took it up again for our justification. We pray that we will recognize our shepherd, and that we will follow our shepherd, and that we will follow his way and the way that you have for us through him. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Three six six. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the word and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. His body
382. Sing the first three verses and then the chorus.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loves me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go. Through endless days, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me. For me, because he
loved me so. Since today is Independence Day, I did a quick Google search about freedom and being free in the Bible. And I come up with two verses. I mean, there's a lot of them, but I keyed in on two of them that I want to read before we take the communion and kind of have a few thoughts about those. The first one is Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who in his rich mercy made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And by God, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." That view of freedom and just the overall Christian and biblical view of freedom differs a lot from how we view freedom in our country here. There at the end where it says, "so that no one can boast," that kind of directly contradicts how we view freedom in the U.S., especially in Texas. We take it to a whole other level. But it's not. It's interesting to me that as we in the country have a collective kind of a pound our chest type of thought process, especially on this day, freedom in the Bible and the freedom we have through Christ is not of our own doing, and it points that out there. And the second verse I want to read is Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. that has been touched on a few times here in Michael's lessons over the past year, and it's been the fear of death has been greatly on display. And so today, as we take this Lord's Supper, let's be mindful of the freedom we have through God's love, His grace, not by our own doing, but by what He saw and what He felt for us. And let's go to God and thank Him for those sacrifices and that gruesome death that had to take place so we could have that freedom. God, we come before You now, and we thank You for this bread, which represents the body that was beaten and mauled and torn apart on the cross. We thank You for that sacrifice that was willingly took on so that we could have freedom from death and freedom from life here on earth after we die. Help us to be mindful of that always, especially today as we celebrate our country's freedom. We thank You for that, but more importantly, we thank You for the body that gave us freedom from death here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, as we come before You now and we partake this cup, which represents the blood that was spilled from Jesus, help our minds to go back and be mindful of that exact scene that took place on the cross and how gruesome and just flat out ugly it was. Let us be ever mindful of the fact that it was taken on willingly to give us, a group of sinners, those that fall short on earth. Help us to, it was given and done to give us a victory over death and a freedom from sin here on earth. Let us be mindful of that, not just now, but every day we walk this earth. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. God, we come for you now as we give back an offering. Let us do so with cheerful hearts. And at the forefront of our minds, let us remember that everything we have on this earth comes from you. It's of you. And we are eternally grateful for all the blessings we have here. Help us to have cheerful hearts as we give back. And let this contribution go to spread your word and reach those who haven't heard the good news yet. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So first Sunday, so we'll do our special contribution for our missionaries. Lord, we thank you for the folks that we have come to know that made sacrifices and sacrificed comfort and the way of life we have here to go and spread your word and preach the gospel to those in a foreign land. And we ask that you keep them safe, first and foremost. Give them strength and perseverance. And bless them as they are out taking your word to the masses and being the hands and feet of Jesus. We ask you to watch over them, keep them safe, and let us be cheerful hearted as we give back to support them in that mission. We ask these things through your son's name. Amen.
Mark your books, number 416. 416 will be the song after the lesson. And now turn one more page to 417. 417. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I follow, follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day.
Good morning, church. Hey, first things first. My wife and I were not the only ones that were in that song, dropping it down in the chorus. Remember when Jamie Payton would sing that song? You guys remember Jamie Payton, right? All right. One of our elders here passed a few years ago. Where he leads, I'll follow. And he would bring that note way down. And so it's funny when you sing things and worship things with people that you've been close with, just what comes back to your heart. So, Tony's bringing out the board for us. We're gonna play a little game this morning. Games are fun, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thanks, sir. Have you flipped some letters up there? All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, all day long, our hearts, Father, have been guided to you. Father, we love you so much. We are blown away. We are humbled by the authority that you gave to Jesus to allow himself to be killed for us. And the authority that you gave to Jesus to be raised in everlasting life. Father, we worship you because we know that you alone are God. There is no other. And we worship you, Father, because we know that everything that stands against you will fall. And we want to enjoy the victory. The victory that you have given us at Calvary. Father, as we study your word together today, I pray that you will open our eyes and hearts, that we will see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Here's a game I want us to play this morning. I would like for you to share with me, and I'm going to write them up here. I want you to think of all of the biblical terms or titles given to us in the Bible. Okay? These are not adjectives. This is not rattle off the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things in the Bible, the words the Bible uses to describe us. Okay? As an individual or as a people. Okay? Biblical titles or descriptors. What do we got? What? No, not adjectives. Not adjectives. I want titles or monikers. Thank you. What's that? Say that again. Free? You guys are good at this. Glad. Shows you've read your Bibles at least once. Two S's? What's that? Light? Thank you. Salt. There we go. What's that? Did I not get servant? It is there? Okay. All right. Is that a good list? It's okay? All right. Hey, you guys did it, not me. All right. For those listening at home on the recording, I'll read it out loud one time. And everybody in here, I want you to take a look, okay? Because these are the words that the Bible uses to describe you. This is who you are. We have on the board... sheep, children of God, royal priesthood, Christian, body, temple, chosen, saint, disciple, freed, church, bride, servant, ambassador, light and salt, warrior, sinner, teacher, peacemaker, follower, messenger, fisher of men, heir, adopted children, shepherd. Good job. Pretty good list. Pretty good list. Now, the Bible uses a lot of words, and I'm really proud of you guys. You came up with a lot, which is good. Every single one of these words, every single one of these titles, every single one of these monikers speaks to our identity in Christ. Now, some days you think of yourself more one than the other, and each of them has different descriptors and different responsibilities. But every single one of these words says something about who we are. So, an amazing list. An amazing list. I would say you could pick one of those each day and just read about it, study about it, and pray about it, and your life is going to change in however many days. in a couple weeks for sure. Amazing. Amazing. Just to think about what God's Word says about us. Today, I want to explore our role of followers. Our role as followers of Jesus. And we're going to take a look. Go to John chapter 10, where Mark read for us this morning. We're going to go through John's gospel this morning, and we are going to see how John uses our role as followers of Jesus, or actually how John records Jesus calling people to be his followers throughout this gospel. We're going to start in John chapter 10, and Jesus describes himself with two words in this section that Mark read for us, John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. Now, we all know what doors are. We all know what doors are used for. And Jesus is saying of himself, I am the one that controls entrance and exit. Jesus says, I am the door. Also in this section, in this teaching, he calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, I'm the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Now, take a look at verse 4. Take a look at verse 4. Now, putting us in this picture of him being the door and the shepherd, he, of course, calls us what we are, sheep. Sheep. Now, a lot of times we hear that term and we hear people saying, oh, you're such a sheep. And it's a negative thing, right? You just believe everything you hear. You just go along with the crowd. You bleat all the way to your own slaughter because you don't stand up. Yeah. And if you're following a bad shepherd, yeah, that's awful. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And so if you and I are following the good shepherd, it's okay to be sheep. It's okay to give up control. It's okay to give up power in our lives and willfully give our soul and our spirit and our mind and our heart and our bodies and our service to Jesus Christ. We are his followers because he can be trusted. He says in verse 4, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We are followers of Jesus because we know his voice. The words that he speaks to us through Scripture, through the Spirit, they go right to our heart. He describes our true nature. He knows us better than anyone else. And so when he gives words of instruction, we listen and we say, I will do that, because those are Jesus' words. When he gives us words of comfort, we feel better and we trust it, because we know that those are words of Jesus. When he gives us words of reproof or discipline, we will say, I repent. I was wrong. Because we know that we can trust the words of Jesus. Of course, at the same time, in verse 5, he says, a stranger they will not follow, for they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You ever talk to somebody that was following the voice of a stranger and not Jesus? Whew. I mean, straight up scary. Scary. It is scary when people are listening to a voice that is not that of Jesus Christ. Because you know where all the voices of those who are not the good shepherd lead to? Destruction. And when someone aligns their life to the words or the voice of someone that is not the good shepherd, they are walking a path of death. It's scary to actually say out loud, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. Followers of Jesus know his voice. And then in verse 9, talking about himself as the good shepherd, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So those who enter through Jesus will be saved, and they will find pasture. Followers of Jesus Christ enter salvation through Him. It is one of the most difficult and delineating ideas in all of Christianity, that there is no other name by which man must be saved. Salvation comes nowhere else. And to stand up, to think that, to say that out loud makes you a bigot. Or worse, how could you say such a thing? How could you believe such a thing? How could you possibly draw a line? Build a fence? How can you possibly create a separation between what you believe and what someone else might believe? You know where doors go, right? On a wall or a fence? By nature, Jesus being the door allowing us in and out. It's built on a wall, on a division, to keep certain safe in, to keep certain dangers out. Right? Yeah. And then he says in verse 11, let me find it. Oh, in verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Because if you're listening to Jesus say, hey, you should be followers of me. I know where I'm going. I know how to lead you. I know how to take care of you. I know the way. And I know what brings life. And just as you and I are sitting here today going, I'm sure people were sitting there today listening to Jesus going, So how can we know? I mean, these are pretty big titles you're giving yourself. You're the door to life. You're the door to life. If you are the door to life, I must, or I will only find life through you. That's a rather big claim. And Jesus says, yeah. And you know how you can trust it? Being the good shepherd means I lay my life down for you. A good shepherd will give his life for the safety of the sheep. And isn't that what we see on Calvary? Our good shepherd willfully giving up his own life for all that would follow him. That's how we know he's good. He's not a tyrant. He doesn't stand above us and just yell, do this and do that, and here's a rule, and there's a religion, and there, and all this stuff. He doesn't do that. Jesus came to us. Jesus came to us and he limited his eternal presence and power by taking on the form of flesh. And he experienced everything that you and I experience in the flesh, and he lived a perfect life. And when it was time for that perfect life in the flesh to be brought to an end, he willfully went to Calvary. We talked about this a couple Sundays ago, that it was not the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was his love for his sheep that kept him on that cross. He could have climbed down at any moment. He could have given in to Satan's final temptation of him. Was that last Sunday? That was the last couple weeks. All those that tempted him to say, hey, if you are the Son of God, come down. Prove it. Show us. And Jesus stayed on Calvary and he says, this is how much I love you. I am the good shepherd. So on this side of the cross, now that we know how the story turns out, how can we not trust Jesus Christ with everything we have and need? He is the good shepherd. So we should always follow him. Let's go ahead a couple chapters. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, starting in verse 20. Here's some more people that want to follow Jesus, and we can learn a little bit from their story. John 12, 26. Sorry, 20 through 26. Starting in verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." All right, we get these three amazing words in this section that Jesus says. Somebody wants to see Jesus. Hey, you guys are his followers. I just want to see him. Can I see Jesus? You may have been there. Remember that time in your life where you were just trying to check Jesus out? You weren't fully committed, but you were just, what is this thing all about? What is this Christianity? What is this faith? What is this salvation thing? I just want to see Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't let anyone just see him, does he? Because Philip and Andrew go to him and say, "Hey, someone wants to see you." Really? Well, they're going to have to die. They just want to see you? I mean, you know, catch a glimpse? I don't know. They may need to identify you a couple thousand years later on a banana peel or a pancake. I'm not sure. But they just want to see you, Jesus. And Jesus goes right to, it's not about seeing me. It's not about seeing me. It's about living. It's about life. It's about recognizing and understanding who is the only true God, and confessing him as Lord and giving him our lives in service. And to do all that, we have to follow Jesus because he knows the way. How many times in your life have you been tempted just to see Jesus? How many times on a Sunday worship have you come and just seen Jesus? Oh, cool. Got a glimpse. I can go now. I fear we live too many of our days under that spell. I'm just going to see Jesus, right? I saw him. I'm good. He's good. Still there. All right. And Jesus won't let us do that. Jesus says, you must follow me and you must serve me. Well, church, here's the good news. Jesus is worthy of all of our attention, and Jesus is worthy of all of our devotion. I don't know who sang it several years ago now. Isn't it funny how the older you get and you think something was like 4 years ago and it turns out to be 15 years ago and you're like, wait a minute. So I don't know how long ago this song came out, but several years ago there was a female country singer who sang this song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." I'm sure some of you know who it is. Who is it? Who is it? Carrie Underwood sings this song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." I kind of dug it. Not for the tune or anything, but you know, I just kind of, okay, I'll be honest. I used it as a joke for my wife and my boys, and every once in a while we'd be driving late at night, and I'd say, "Jesus, take the wheel," and just go down a hill with my hands in the air or something. So I was just having fun with it. "Jesus, take the wheel" is a beautiful idea. And the idea was, look, if I'm going to be successful as a follower of Jesus, I have to let Jesus actually be in control of my life. Right? He has to be the one in the driver's seat. And I've heard songs and I've seen lessons about, you know, at the beginning of stages when we come to Jesus, we've got a death grip on the steering wheel, and then we start to give control, and maybe we'll let Jesus take the wheel, but we sit right next to him to watch, make sure he's, you know, leading our life correctly. And then maybe when we feel a little bit more comfortable with Jesus, he's in the driver's seat, we'll actually sit in the passenger seat, and then we'll just be a backseat driver. And then as we get more comfortable with Jesus, we may feel okay getting in the back seat, and then when you're, you know, really trusting Jesus, you can just lay down in the back seat and take a nap. See, church, I think the problem and what has happened to us is that we have turned this into our theology of Jesus take the wheel, and none of us are co-piloting our lives. you and I, as followers of Jesus, hey, I've entered through the door. I've received eternal life. Jesus is leading me all the way to heaven. I've given him control of my life. He's going to say what's good. He's going to lead me to where I need to be. So I am going to be back here. And you know what we do with our faith? We turn into our teenagers and their cell phone in the back seat on a trip. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Where you see nothing but the top of their head for how many hours you're in the car. And then when you get there and say, we're here, they're like, oh, cool, we're here. They did not partake in any part of the journey. They distracted themselves until the journey was completed. And church, I think you and I are guilty of this a little bit in our Christian faith. Jesus, take the wheel, and I'm just going to not pay attention to where you're driving, what you're doing, any of the scenery, who needs help around us, or any of that. I'm just going to bury my head in my own entertainment here in the back seat. I trust you. You got me. You can get there. What's there to worry about? And how much of life's journey do we miss when we are not looking through the big glass in the front, the same view that Jesus has of our life? He does take the wheel. We need to let him take the wheel because he knows the way we're going. But he's invited us to be along for the ride. Jesus says in this section, in verse 26, where I am, there will my servant be also. Now, what does that scream to my ears and to my heart? We must live deliberately with Jesus. We must live deliberately with Jesus. You ever been so in tune with the Spirit that you just notice things differently? You know what I'm talking about, because we all do. We know what it's like to walk by the Spirit. We know what it's like to follow closely to Jesus, to walk hand in hand or arm in arm or whatever your metaphor that helps you get through the day. We know what it's like to walk with Jesus, and we notice things differently. You ever offered up prayer for a certain thing, and then, boom, God just starts putting those things in your path? Absolutely. Absolutely. It works both ways. It works both ways, because if you ask out of it, guess what? You get out of it. I'll give you an example. I've noticed times in my life where I say, Lord, I really need to notice those around me who need help. And guess what pops up all around me? Hey, buddy, can you spare a buck? Hey, you got $5? Hey, we need some food. Can you spare some change? Can you help us with gas? I mean, out of nowhere. It's almost like someone's listening. I told God I want to be able to help people, and I want to go where he is, and I want to follow where Jesus would go. And guess what? People just start coming out of everywhere. And then at some point, guess what? I've said, enough! And what happened? I stopped seeing them. I stopped seeing them. God is good. God is good. He's going to show you exactly what you asked for. He answers your prayers. You know how many of our answered prayers are actually God withholding things? A lot. A lot. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to serve him. It's not enough to see him. It's not enough to put our eyes on him. It is to know that where he is the best place to be. And what was Jesus doing every day in his life in the flesh? He was serving. He was serving. Read your Gospels. See where Jesus went. See who Jesus talked to. See what Jesus did. Because as a follower of Jesus, that needs to be you. And it needs to be you. And it needs to be me. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To walk where he walks. Take it ahead to chapter 21. John chapter 21, the end of the gospel. Love this story. John chapter 21. This story, this last chapter in John's gospel, is beautiful because Jesus, after his death and his resurrection, the fishermen that he has called to walk in his steps and to follow him, they think the story's over. They think the story's over, so they go, well, what do we do? Well, we go back to what we knew before, right? We go back to our old ways. Let's go fishing. And they go fishing. They go fishing. And who shows up? Jesus. They're out fishing. And Jesus shows up, and Peter recognizes him. He sees him, and he goes, and he runs to him. And then we have this wonderful interaction. Three times Jesus asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? I mean, it's beautiful, and it's heartbreaking, and it's gut-wrenching, and all at the same time. Because we know that Peter, before Jesus died, had said, hey, Lord, everybody else may fall away. Everybody else may lose their spirit, but not me. I'm with you to the end. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, before the night is done, you're going to deny me three times. Nope, never happens. Of course, it does happen. And he is ashamed. He is broken in all of the faith that he had in himself to be faithful follower of Jesus. He falls on his face. And now Jesus is back. Jesus is back, and three times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me more than these? Tend my flock. Three times. And immediately after this beautiful story of reconciliation, we pick up in verse 20. John chapter 21, verse 20. What are the last two words in verse 19? Follow me. Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Here's the next verse in the Bible. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, what about this guy? What about this guy? Jesus just told Peter, look, Peter, you and I are good. I have forgiven you. You have a job to do. Take care of my sheep. Follow me. And he and Jesus are walking side by side because he had to turn around to see John, didn't he? And John's just, I mean, you know, he's probably within earshot. He's probably listening to what's going on. I mean, he wrote the story, so he had to know the details. And Peter stops looking at Jesus, and he turns around. And he says, what about him? What about him? What about her? What about them? What about them? Well, Jesus has an answer in verse 22. I think we need to hear it. Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Jesus has just told Peter, you follow me. Well, what's their responsibility? I don't care if they are exalted above everybody else. You follow me. Well, what about them? I don't care if they get the biggest attendance, the more likes, the most followers. I don't care what they get in this world. You follow me. But Jesus, what about my prayers and my faith and my love for you and all my suffering and their perfect life? What about them? It doesn't matter what they have or don't have or are not. You follow me. Now, an amazing thing happens because, you know, how would you not like to be John and your ears just perk up because you've been mentioned? Like, well, why is Peter talking about me? And Jesus turns around and says, hey, look, if this guy never has to experience physical death and he remains until my return, that's none of your business. Well, look what happened. Verse 23, the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die. When he goes back and tells everybody what Jesus said about him, they're like, what? Lucky? Oh. I mean, you know that was their reaction. So they start telling everybody, seriously? Oh, he does love John more than all of us. He's not even going to die. Oh. Then, of course, John goes, final editing. And yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Church, we must keep our eyes and focus on the one we are following so much so that there is no room for comparison. Your path with Jesus, even though it is straight and narrow and it leads to eternal life, your path with Jesus is as much of an individual as you are. Do all of you have the same experiences with Jesus that I have? Have I shared all of the experiences of faith that you have? No. I came to Christ the same way. But the path that Jesus is leading me on, I work at a certain place, or go to school at a certain place, I encounter certain people different than you. And Jesus is leading me to follow him and serve those people. Your experience and my experience is not the same. So when we get together, we do not point fingers at each other and go, well, what about them? And we do this. We do this. It's sad. It's sad. How do we do this? Well, we focus on other followers, don't we? We focus our attention on other followers. And not to be encouraged, right? We don't look at the lives of what God is doing, and we don't look at the blessings that God is pouring out in somebody else's life and go, oh, praise God, I am so glad for that good news. I'm going to join you in praising God. We go, really? Why? God, how come they got that? I mean, I'm following you, and it's been pretty difficult lately. How come they're being blessed over here? How come I'm suffering right here? I mean, we're both followers of you. Something's not right. We compare, don't we? You need to hear the words of Jesus. What does it matter if they can receive the ultimate blessing that you can possibly imagine? Skipping death. We know death is not the end, but wouldn't you like to skip the process? All of us would. Jesus just said to Peter, it doesn't matter if I give him the greatest physical blessing in the entire existence of the world. You keep your eyes on me. Why? Because he's the giver of the blessings. Don't go to God and whine about how good someone else has it. That's not our job. God will see fit the good that he gives us. And whatever he has seen fit to give you, guess what? It is good. It's not always fun. It's not always pain-free, because some of the gifts that you and I need from Jesus are gifts that keep us faithful. Right? I want my kids to have good health, so I'm going to bless them with chocolate and sugar and sweets because I love them so much. We all know better, right? I love my kids so much, I want to bless them, and I'm just not going to discipline them. I'm going to let them get away with that because I'm sure they didn't mean it. I'm sure that they just didn't understand how much their rude behavior or their malicious words hurt me or that other person. So I'm just going to, you know, just let that go, because that's what's best for them. Really? No, he disciplines us for our own good, because he loves us. So what God is giving you, it's yours. And it's from him. So it's good. And it's going to lead to good. Here's something else that happens when we take our focus off of Jesus. We focus on the lost, right? We focus on the lost. Not as missionaries focus on the lost. We don't hear the words of Jesus as we go out into the world and say, oh, wow, there's only a few of us that are actually faithful to Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. Let's go out there and reach people for Jesus. We focus on the lost and go, can you believe what they're doing over there? I cannot even imagine how much evil is going on over there. Pointing fingers. That's how we focus on the lost. How did Jesus focus on the lost? He approached them. He held up God's standard. And he told them, stop. Stop sinning. It doesn't lead anywhere good. Church, we have to focus on the lost like Jesus focuses on the lost. That's world changing. That's why 2,000 years later, people still know his name. We focus on the negative, don't we? We focus on the negative. We absolutely focus on the negative. I mean, Jesus is walking with his followers, those who are close to him, and he goes, hey guys, we're going up to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. It's all good. No. Don't say that, Jesus. No. How is anyone else going to follow us if they think bad things are going to happen? You ever felt like you've had to apologize for Jesus? Like you really want to, you know, reach out to the lost with the good news of the gospel, but your life's been kind of difficult lately and you're like, well, I got nothing to sell. My path has been so painful, so frustrating, just up and down. My faith hadn't been strong. What am I going to say to anybody? What am I going to share to anybody? How am I going to sell Jesus to them when I'm only half convinced myself? See, the thing is, you're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to sell your experience with Jesus. Don't sell yourself, sell Jesus. Keep your focus on him and let other people see him. So, to follow Jesus means where we go where he is and we act like he acts. We, Sonny told me we sang this song Wednesday night. I think Tony led us in it. All week I've had this song, I Just Want to Be Where You Are. It's just been in my head and it's been in my heart and it's been guiding my steps. This song, this confession of saying to Jesus, all I want is to be where you are. Isn't that what you want? You just want to be where he is. Church, with the resurrection from the dead, with your rebirth in your baptism, dying and being born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, right here, right now, being forgiven of your sins, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being allowed to see where Jesus is so that you can follow him. The Christian life is not about us coming together going, I just want to be where you are, Jesus, bring heaven. No. It starts today. It starts when you and I get back in our cars and we go our ways. I just want to be where you are, Jesus. I believe he is here with us. He has not left us alone. He has not abandoned us. His last promise, I will not leave you alone. I will not abandon you. I'm going to send you the helper. And it's even better because my helper can go everywhere. The Spirit of Christ can be everywhere. I just want to be where you are. You just want to be where he is. Someday, that's going to be in heaven. But guess what? The good news is, wherever Jesus is, if you are there, then it's all good. Right? How many times do we have to remind ourselves of the storm and the sinking boat? Jesus, do you not care? Wake up, wake up. Do you not care that we're dying here? And Jesus what? He rebukes the storm. All right, cut it out. And you can just almost see him just turning back to his disciples as he's, you know, fluffing his pillow or, you know, he's going back to his nap and he just looks at him and says, seriously, guys, you really think something bad's going to happen when I'm in the boat with you? Do you not believe any of the things I've been talking about? Has it not made a dent? Has it not gotten past any of that? Your faith is small. Faith is small. Believe Jesus. Follow him. Look, we can make the case all day long. He's the only one worth following. He is the good shepherd. He's the one who laid down his life for you. No one else ever did that. No one else ever will do that. He died for your sins. He paid the price for your debt. He did what was necessary to wipe it out. And there is no other door that you and I must go through to find life and salvation and pasture. Jesus laid his life down for you, so hear his voice. Listen. Listen. Walk through the door. And those of you that are not, those of you that don't enjoy this list yet, we invite you to walk through the door. We invite you to follow Jesus. And those of you that have already walked through the door, those of you that are followers of Jesus, look how full your life is. Look how big your experience and existence are. Let's stand together and sing.
We It's great to see everybody here this morning. Definitely a very, very good lesson that we need to apply to our lives. I have a few announcements. Tonight, 7 o'clock here at the church, we're going to have burgers and hot dogs and just July 4th celebration. So I know there's been a sign-up list for families to bring drinks, desserts, chips, stuff like that. The buns are provided, but we do need somebody to volunteer to bring cheese. So just get with Tony.
Actually, she placed an order with Sam.
Okay, so never mind. Cheese has been covered as well. All right, so just show up 7. Yes, yes. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so more drinks and chips tonight. Whoever's coming, drinks and chips will be greatly appreciated. And then, you know, bring your lawn chairs, stuff to be able to sit outside. And if the weather does turn off rainy, we'll just move it inside, do games, stuff like that. So, continuing this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the Lee's house, there's still the women's Bible study. I encourage everyone to come. There's just been a lot of good things come out of it, and I'm grateful to the Lees for opening their house and to my wife for leading it. So just please, if you have time, come take part in that. This coming Saturday, the 10th, I'm not sure a starting time, but it's going to be the work day up here at the church. Do yard cleanup, paint some trim, just some general overall maintenance and upkeep. So anybody who's able, please come up here. Maybe by Wednesday night we'll have a little bit more detail as far as like a particular starting time. 9 o'clock. Okay. We're setting it. 9 o'clock. Up here at the church building, 9 o'clock. We'll just get some stuff done. Is there anything else I missed? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so secret sister forms still out there in the foyer. There is a box to put them in. They're due by the last Wednesday in July, and the drawing will be Sunday, August 1st. So sign up for it if you want a secret sister. All right, and if there's nothing else, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you. Thank you for today and this time and just the opportunity we have just to be able to be in your presence and sing praises to your name and get to learn more about you. I pray that we would just go out this week and that we would just be your followers and that we would just walk with you, Lord, that we just wouldn't just trust you to just take over our lives, but that we would be an active part in it and that we would be showing your love and sharing your light with those that we come into contact with, Lord. And I pray that no matter what we're going through, I pray that we were just able to just trust in you and your leading and guiding and just knowing that when we walk close to you that everything's going to be okay. And I pray that we would just desire to bring as many along as we can. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.